exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another.
Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
What people we can expect and how many we can expect, just so that way we can plan for that. But it's going to be a great and awesome opportunity. Amen? Yeah. Awesome. So, hey, part two of this series, Change Your World. Really excited to start part two of Change Your World, because today I want to talk about the importance of sharing my faith. Now, the whole concept behind this series is that we as a church are called to be generous people. Like, oftentimes, you know, it's easy to think that, you know, I'm supposed to just come to church to get something from me. And that's not really 90% of why Jesus saved us and why God has called us to be a part of his family. God invited us to be a part of his family, not so that way we could receive, but so that we could also make a difference and give so that others would be a part of his family. And so we've called this series Change the World because that is what we are called to do as the church. That is what we are called to do as the body of Christ. We're called to change the world all around us. So all throughout this series, we're going to talk about just the importance of generosity. And oftentimes we think about generosity, we just kind of think finances, but it's so much bigger than finances. It's so much bigger than money. It's so much bigger than resources. It's really about the bigger picture. It's really about giving all of ourselves in a way that would impact the lives of people. So last week we talked about the importance of sharing our lives. And if you missed that message, you can go online to the website and check that out and get caught up. But in particular, we're walking through the book of Acts, which is the fifth book in the New Testament, right after the book of John. And we're looking at how the early church, or the first church, changed the world, changed history, just by simple acts of obedience and generosity, just by being a blessing to the people who were around them, and just by sharing their lives. And so a scripture that I want to kind of share before I read our main scripture, it comes out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to the church in Thessalonica, he said this: "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." So we cared for you, and because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share. Everybody say share. Now, share is a word that, for those of us who are parents, this is a word that you're trying to get your kids to understand. My wife and I, we got a 2-year-old, we got a 3-month-old. The 3-month-old don't understand nothing yet, because obviously she's just an infant. But the 2-year-old, it's hard. because inherently, not just with kids, but inherently, we're just naturally selfish. Like we want things the way we want them, right? Like, we go to a restaurant and we want food when we want it. If it's taking long, expect it, we're borderline like wanting to cuss them out. Like it's all about us. Like, inherently, we kind of have this issue with being selfish. And what God calls us to do is to not be selfish, but to be selfless. It's to share with others, because that is what God did for us. John 3:16, all of us may kind of know that scripture, or many of us may know that scripture. If you've been around a football game, you probably saw the sign up, or you've been in church for any considerable amount of time, you probably heard that scripture. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave," that at the very heart of God is generosity. At the very heart of God is sharing, and he desires that those who call him Father, those who call him Lord, those who are part of his family would also exhibit that same characteristic. That one of the marks of a true follower of Jesus, or a true Christian, is that they are greatly generous. They're always looking for opportunities to share. That's what we see all throughout the book of Acts. You constantly see people who are pouring out their lives. As a matter of fact, selfish and Christian, they don't have anything in common, because the Christian, the follower of Jesus, is known for being extremely generous. People who just give as much as they can, people who sacrifice, people who love people even when it hurts, people who forgive people who extend grace, people who love. It doesn't mean we're a doormat, you just let people walk all over you. But no, the nature of a believer, as a follower of Christ, is that we are generous. And not only that, generous, but we love to be generous. Because it's like one thing to be a blessing to somebody and to give to somebody. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've done this before, where like I did a good thing for somebody, but the spirit behind it wasn't good. It's like, just take this $10. Like, that wasn't really a blessing, right? Like, not at all. I'm pretty sure many of us have done the same thing that I've done. But God calls us not just to be a blessing to people, but to do so cheerfully. And to do so because we understand how much God has done for us. Matter of fact, I'll say it like this, that we are called to share with others because Christ Jesus has shared with us, right? So if there's no other reason why you need to share with people, here's why. Like, you say, I'm not going to give to them. I'm not going to forgive them because they never forgave me. I'm not going to give to them. I'm not going to bless them. I'm not going to speak well of them because they never spoke well of me. And that very well may be true. But the one whose word matters the most, the one whose love is the best, the one who's the most gracious, he loved you and I when we didn't deserve it. So if I have received this love and received this grace, then my love towards people is not predicated based upon what they do for me. My love for people is predicated based upon what Jesus has done for me. Like, Jesus is our benchmark, not people. Like, if I measure myself to people, I'm either going to feel very proud because I'm better than them, or I'm going to be very envious because I don't think that I'm as good as them. Jesus says, no, you're looking at the wrong measuring stick. I want you to measure yourself with me. Because what happened is you realize that you can't do it, and you also realize that you need me to do it through you. Followers of Jesus are generous. And so that takes us to our main scripture today, and I want to kind of start there in Acts chapter 3. You had this very unique story that takes place here in Acts 3. And if any of you guys have been a part of church for any time, you may have heard this story. It says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. One of the things that Jewish people did in that day and time, they would go to the temple for 3 p.m. prayer. Like, that was the time in which they were prayer. And then it says this, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg. Next verse says this, from those going into the temple courts. Then after that, it says, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Next verse says this, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. Verse 5, so the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. So you got this guy who's here begging for money. Normally he's there, it's like his normal custom. You may have seen people like this, like, you know, at the edge of a road or on a median in a road where it splits in half or whatever. You may kind of just see people just kind of asking for money. That's kind of the scene that's essentially happening here. But Peter and John do something very strange. Peter says, silver or gold I don't have. So he's telling the guy, I don't have any money. I don't have anything to give you. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Here's where it gets crazy. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Verse 8, he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Verse 9, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. You got the scene where it's like the throwback Mike Jones song back then, you know, I won't hot, but, you know, now I'm hot, y'all, that whole thing happened here. Like, y'all ain't want to have nothing to do with me when I was crippled, but now I can walk. Now y'all want to come holler at me. Like, that's kind of essentially what's happening here. Lighten up. I'm really just joking. It's not Mike Jones, but the whole parallel there is that you had this guy who was sitting begging. He was in need, and he was accustomed to people constantly doing practical things for him where they would just give him money. And so today I want to really focus on just the importance of sharing our faith. And you may be looking at this story like, what does this have to do with sharing faith? Like, this guy got healed. Like, what does that have to do with sharing your faith? It has everything to do with sharing faith. But before I kind of get into that, I just want to kind of share this quote that I read in this article, that studies have shown that most believers in Christ rarely invite someone to a weekend service or even share their faith with another person. It's crazy. Most followers of Jesus have never invited anybody to a weekend service nor shared their faith with somebody who was not already a follower of Christ. Now, the question I ask myself when I read something like that is, how is it that people who have the greatest news in the history of the world won't say anything about it? Like, doesn't that kind of jar you a little bit? Like, we have the greatest news. That's why it's called the gospel. The gospel means good news. We have the greatest news that the world can ever hear and will ever hear and has ever heard, but we stay silent about it. Why is that? Why do we get cold feet when we have the opportunity to share Christ with somebody? Like, why do we get really silent when it comes to us inviting somebody to service, right? Like, we're loud when it comes to football. Loud. We're loud when it comes to talking about Chris Brown or Rihanna or something in media. Like, we're very loud when it comes to that. But when it comes to Jesus, like, it's like three blind mice. We just get real quiet. And I'm pretty sure Jesus in heaven, like, you believe I died for you? Like, you confess that I'm your Lord? Why don't you tell nobody about me? Like, you say you love me, but you don't tell nobody about me. You know what that's like? It's like being in a relationship with somebody, like boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, and wife, but don't nobody ever know you in a relationship because you don't ever talk about them. So now we got a question, one or two, we got to raise one or two questions. Either this person is an imaginary person, or you're ashamed of this person. It's one or the other, right? Jesus is like, why won't you tell people about what I've done for you, right? And we'll talk more about like how this kind of looks just practically. So in this story, you got these two apostles, Peter and John. Apostles in the Bible were people that were sent out by Jesus to go plant his church and to go reach people who were far from him with the gospel. And as I mentioned earlier, Jewish custom, Peter and John, they were walking into the temple, just getting ready to go in and just have some worship, have some prayer time. 3 o'clock p.m. was like the normal time of prayer. So they're getting ready to just kind of go in there and do their thing. And as they are on their way, they encounter this guy who was crippled. And not only was he crippled, scripture later talks about how this man was crippled from birth. Scripture then tells us that he was about 40 some years old. So for 40 plus years, this dude was crippled from birth. I don't know about you, that's a long time to be in bondage. Like, that's a long time to have and to deal with what he was dealing with. Some of us are kind of in that place right now. Like, we've been struggling with something. It may be like we've been struggling to do away with a particular sin, or we've been struggling with a particular issue or some type of decision, and we've been living with it for a long time. And you've been quietly praying and asking to God, going to sleep at night, crying yourself to sleep on your pillow, or don't even tell anybody about it. Like, God, when is breakthrough going to come? Like, when is healing going to take place? Like, when is freedom going to take place? So they're on their way with this guy, and on their way to the temple, and they meet this guy, and he's sitting there. Imagine him. Just paint this picture in your mind, and just imagine this guy just kind of sitting here at the entrance of the temple. He couldn't go in because he was crippled. Right? Like he was kind of treated as an outsider. Some of us have felt like that. Like, we've been treated as outsiders because it's like we don't fit in because of something that we have going on, or because we don't look like everybody else, or because we don't sound like everybody else. So people kind of just say, hey, you just stay over there. Stay at the kiddie table. Right? Like, we've kind of felt like that at times. But let me kind of just encourage us and let us know, Jesus is all about the outsiders. Matter of fact, Jesus does his best work with people who are on the outside. Matter of fact, to push it a little bit further, when Jesus died, this is a quick little Bible study lesson, he didn't die within the city itself. Scripture talks about how he died outside the city. Almost kind of providentially and sovereignly, God speaking and communicating all through the bowels of history, saying that I'm not just for people who are within the city, I'm for all people, all ethnicities, all economic classes, divorced, widowed, single, whoever. I am for all people. That's the good news of the gospel. And so we see this scene really kind of setting up where Peter and John are going in, and they come across this dude, and they see this guy just struggling and just asking for money. And obviously this guy was sitting here day after day because it must have worked. So I don't know how much he was getting every day, but he must have been getting something. I mean, why would you come back every day? Like, I mean, you would just go to another temple if that wasn't working. But no, he was there every day. Somebody would come and drop him off. Now, I think what's interesting is that people oftentimes helped to treat his symptom, but they didn't treat his problem. Symptom was he needed money. That wasn't the problem. Symptom was he couldn't go get a job. He couldn't take care of himself. He had to constantly depend on somebody else. That was the symptom of a greater problem. The greater problem was this guy needed deliverance. He needed healing. He needed the saving power of Jesus. And that was something that nobody else could give him. Because if somebody could have given it to him, they would have given it to him, and he wouldn't have been hearing this story. But for 40 years, he was lame in his feet, which means he couldn't walk. For 40 years, he was crippled. And for year upon year, he would sit at this temple. But on this day, man, if he only knew what was getting ready to happen to him. And for some of us, we're right there. Like, you are on the edge of that day. Like, maybe today is your day. Matter of fact, I will say today is your day. Why? Because you're here. You're hearing about the one who's the great physician. You're hearing about the one who's the great doctor. Not me, not even Peter and John, but the one that they came in the power of, Jesus Christ. And the good news is, no matter what you've come in here afflicted by or dealing with, Jesus knows about your struggle. Jesus cares about your struggle. And Jesus can deliver you from your struggle. Now, I always kind of said back in the day, church people don't know when to clap. Church people don't know when to clap. Because if I heard the news of Jesus being in the building and I could find healing and deliverance from this guy named Jesus, and he's actually still alive, he's sitting on the throne, he's still in control, I would be clapping my hands right now, because that's the good news of the gospel. So that means that it doesn't matter what you're dealing with right now. We sang this song earlier that his promises are still true. I don't know what God's promised you. I don't know what God has guaranteed you. Now, don't sit up here and say, God, you promised me I was going to win the lotto. No, he didn't. I'm still playing. Ain't nothing happened. You ain't going to win. That ain't the Lord. But I'm talking about things that build his kingdom, not yours. The things that glorify his name, not yours. This man, he was in need, not of money. Money was good. This dude needed healing. He needed forgiveness. He needed grace. He needed freedom. This man, he was outside constantly. Can you imagine the embarrassment he felt every day, having to wait on somebody to come pick him up from his house, drop him off at the temple gate, right? Some of us can identify with that, because it's almost like not having a car. I gotta wait on them, and it's embarrassing, because you gotta call somebody for a ride all the time. But Jesus is like, don't let what you think is a dysfunction disqualify you from what I want to do in your life. It's not. If anything, the thing that you disqualify as and call a dysfunction is the very thing that I use to qualify when I'm getting ready to do life. That's the good news. It's crazy how God works. The very thing that oftentimes the enemy calls a curse, that's the very thing that God wants to reverse and turn into a blessing. That's the very thing that God will use to get glory. Who would have thought that on this day, this dude who was lame in his feet and couldn't walk would get something greater than money? He would get something that doctors couldn't even give him. He would get something that he couldn't just go get at Walmart first and the 15th of the month. Unless you go to the Walmart on Mercury Boulevard and they don't have nothing there. It's empty, right? Like, who would have thought that this guy would experience something great? So he's sitting at this gate constantly just waiting for something greater. Let me ask us this question. In the story, this man is at the gate. But in our lives, we have people in the gates of our communities, gates of our homes, gates of our neighborhoods, gates of our families. Who are those people that are sitting at the gates in your life right now that are waiting on somebody to come and share with them good news? Like, think about, take a survey of the people right now in your life. Think about the people that you constantly are like, man, they just need to get it together. They are sitting at the gate of your life. And God wants to use you and I to reach them. Man, they just need Jesus. I'm praying for them. They crazy. And that's why God's put you in their life. Because you got a little bit more sanity than them. You're still crazy. I'm just joking. Just joking. Promise you. But God wants to use you to be able to reach them. Aren't you tired of seeing people suffer? Like, are you really tired of it? Like, that was a question that God had to kind of ask me, especially as we were kind of planting this church and we kind of discerned the calling to plant this church. Like, aren't you tired of seeing people just get, like, just a lame experience from coming into worship and not hearing the good news and not hearing something that they can apply to their life? Aren't you tired of seeing divorces happen? Aren't you tired of seeing kids drop out of school? Aren't you tired of seeing people shoot up their arms because they're low on life? Aren't you tired of seeing that? Why don't you share me with them? I don't know about you. I'm tired of seeing constant news reports and constant things breaking on CNN talking about this shooting happened here in Oregon, and this thing happened here in this state, and this thing happened here right in our neighborhood. I'm tired of seeing it. I'm frustrated by it, y'all. This is why we planted the church, so that way we can reach people for Christ. And this is not just what he's called the church corporally and collectively to do, but here's the good news, and here's the news maybe you didn't know. You are the church. And God has equipped you and I to infiltrate this community, this Hampton Roads community, or wherever you're from, to go change that area, to change our world. So I just want to share a few things that, as it relates to sharing our faith, because oftentimes when we hear the concept of sharing our faith, we think it's hard to do. We got to have a master's in divinity. We think we got to know all the books of the Bible from cover to cover, front to back. We think we got to know everything that there is about Scripture. Let me help us understand something. These guys that Jesus selected weren't the smartest. They weren't the brightest, but God used them, Jesus used them to turn the world upside down. What started with a few men has led to where we are today. So if we look at just the collective amount of people who are in this room, and it's a great amount of us in this room, imagine what would happen if we got on board with God and said, I'm going to change this world, and I'm going to start by sharing my faith. Doesn't mean that I got to know every book of the Bible. Don't you have a testimony? Don't you got a history of what God has done in your life? Share that with people. Let me kind of just talk about what happens here in this story, just to kind of debunk the myth of what sharing our faith is about. Number one, sharing our faith is at the core of it, it's about giving my time to people. It's about investing time to people. So when we look at verses 3-5, this is what the writer of the book of Acts, Luke, says. He says, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Verse 4 says, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. Verse 5. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from him. Notice what happens here. Peter and John gave the man their time because they simply just stopped and had a conversation with him. I wonder how many people, because our life is moving so fast, like we got to go to this job, we got to get to work on time, we got to do this, we got to take kids to football practice, we got to take family here, we got to do this, we got to go get groceries, we got to put kids to bed, we got to do all these different things. But I wonder if our life is moving too fast and too quick to the point where we don't even notice the people that God has placed around us to make an impact on. I wonder maybe if we're so caught up with our schedules and our lives that we miss the people who need Christ the most, that we miss the golden opportunities that we have to give the gospel, the good news to people. I'm glad that Peter and John stopped that day, because nowhere else in Scripture does it say anybody ever stopped and talked to this guy. Matter of fact, we can kind of almost kind of conclude from Scripture when it says that the man gave them his attention, we can conclude that he was probably more than likely just accustomed just to people just walking by, people just driving by. But Peter and John, they stop. Don't even go in the temple. They stop at the entrance of it, at the gate, and they say, hey, dude, look at us. Look at us. Now, I don't know, like, everything, like, how Peter looked. I don't know if he kind of had, like, a smiling face or, like, that scowl Batman-style face. Look at me. Y'all know the Batman voice. Look at me. I don't know if it was one of them. But either way, whatever he said, when he said this, he commanded the attention of this man. He actually cared about this man. God calls us to acknowledge people, not ignore them. To acknowledge people, not ignore them. I know the person on your job gets on your nerves. I know they frustrate you. I know the person in your neighborhood gets on your nerves. I know that person in your family is plucking your last nerve. I know that you don't see eye to eye with everybody that you're around. But understand this, God has strategically placed you and I around them so we can reach them. That's it. But we got to actually just for a moment slow down. Let's stop moving at the speed of light to get our goals accomplished, and let's slow down so we can get the will of God accomplished. Maybe that's the message for some of us in here. Maybe that's what God is calling some of us to do. Like, you're moving too fast. You're moving so fast, you only got time for your family. You're moving so fast, you don't even get any rest. You get 3 hours of sleep a night. You're going to die at some point because you get no sleep. You're moving so fast, you don't even eat right. Your diet is off. God's like, slow down. Because you're moving so fast that you're missing what I want to do through your life. Another thing I want to say about this passage is that this man gave Peter and John his attention because Peter and John gave him their attention. We can't expect to get attention from people if they don't get attention from us. Like, why should we expect people to listen to the good news we have to share if we won't even listen to the people themselves? Ain't nobody got time for that. Like, if we had that mentality, then we'll never reach people. Because what happens is when we invest time in people, we connect with people. And when we connect with people, it opens up the opportunity for God to do something even greater. God always puts people in our way so we can show them the way. Peter and John stopped with this guy, and they involved themselves with the needs of this guy. So it's not just enough for me just to, like, invest time in people. Like, I got to actually involve myself with people. So, like, who are the people that God has placed on our path right now? Like, who are the people that we've run into countless times that we just kind of, you know, they'll be okay. No, they'll be okay. I don't know about you. Sometimes God drops certain people's, like, names and you know, I get a face, I get a picture in my mind or whatever, in my spirit. And I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I'm like, I need to hit them up. And then I just don't. Confession moment. Yes, the pastor is a sinner just like you. Man, go figure. I don't know about you. And then there's been times where God has dropped a name in my spirit, and immediately I responded. You know what's crazy? More often than not, when I was actually obedient to what he actually called me to do, like, I actually saw some fruit behind it. So I really believe that we oftentimes say one thing on God, God's on you. Like, I've been calling you forever. I've been calling you to do this thing forever. Like, nonstop. You just keep hitting ignore. I was like, man, come on, man. Like I want to use you to change this world. I want to use you to make an impact. That's what God is calling us to do. There are people that God wants to reach through us that we know well, that we're close to. But then there's also people that we're not necessarily close to in relationship, but we're close to in proximity. Those are, like, people that you live close to. Those are people that you work with. You may not have, like, an in-depth relationship with them, but you see them enough to make an impact. Those are the people that God wants you and I to invest our time. And I'll say it like this, that God wants to reach people who are far from him but close to us. God wants to reach people who are far from him but close to us. He wants to reach people who are far from him, and we know plenty of those people. We used to be those people. Maybe we still are those people. But he wants to do that though they are close to us. And let me kind of just give us a caveat. If you're a follower of Jesus, and if you're not a follower of Jesus, this doesn't apply to you. But if you're a Christ follower, a Christian, you will always encounter somebody who needs Jesus as you're following Jesus. If you were kind of like, I didn't sign up for this, Lord, he's like, too bad. This is what it means to be a Christ follower. Because we're not spiritual consumers. We're spiritual contributors. We don't live life trying to say, what can we get? No, we live life saying, what can we offer? What can we give? Following Jesus is all about helping people who need Jesus. I'm going to take us to another scripture in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 35. This is a very, very, like, kind of what I call, like, an undercover scripture because it's kind of tucked away and you can easily just kind of skim through it as you're reading through the book of Acts. But in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, I think we have that up here, Acts 8, 26 through 35. I don't know if we have it or not, but it's this story about this guy by the name of Philip, and Philip was one of Christ's followers. He was a Jesus follower, and he came across this guy, this guy that the Bible calls an Ethiopian eunuch, and this guy was reading this scroll from the book of Isaiah, but he couldn't really understand what it was about, and so the Spirit of God told Philip, hey, there's a chariot with a guy sitting in it. I want you to go minister to him. That's kind of like paraphrase. It doesn't say specifically that in your scripture, but that's the paraphrase. That's the heart of the text. I want you to go and invest in him. Scripture says that Philip runs to the chariot. He goes to meet the guy, and he has this conversation with the guy. He asks him, he says, do you know what you're reading? And the Ethiopian eunuch's like, no, I don't have a clue. And how can I understand if nobody explains it to me? And scripture says that Philip, starting with the very scripture that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading, explained to him the gospel from Isaiah all the way to the resurrection of Jesus, because he invested time in him. Man, I wonder the people's lives that we can change if we would just spend a few moments just talking to them. I'm talking about beyond Facebook. Like Facebook messages don't count. I'm talking about beyond Instagram. Just because you commented on their picture don't mean you know them. Like, let's go beyond that. Let's have some substance behind what we're actually doing. But invest some time. Why don't we just buy them lunch? Why don't we just surprise them and just bless them with like a gift card to Redbox? I was about to say Blockbuster, but Blockbuster is gone. Redbox. Like, why don't we just bless them? Like, no strings attached. This is kind of why we, a few weeks back, some of you guys may remember, some of you guys who are new probably weren't able to see this, but we gave out these cards that we call acts of kindness cards. And on the front, it says, something extra to show you that God loves you. And the reason why we gave these cards out is because we want to encourage people, hey, attach an act of kindness with this card. Do something kind for somebody and give them this card. And then on the back, it has like a little shameless plug about the Bridge Church and our service time and our location and all that good stuff. And we got plenty of them out there in the lobby, so make sure you grab a few before you leave. That's why we did that. Because we're investing time in people. And that's what Peter and John did with this guy here. One of the major people had a major impact on my life. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even be here today. Like, I wouldn't be talking to you. None of us would probably be gathered right here. I had a picture, but I didn't put it up. But it's a guy that I've known pretty much like almost the second half of my whole entire life, from like 15 all the way now to 30. And he made and had the single most impactful, like, stamp on my life next to Jesus. And that was my good friend Sherrod Reddy. He's a pastor in Franklin, Virginia. He was my youth pastor growing up. My wife and I's youth pastor growing up. He's my best man in my wedding. He was there for me all throughout college. Like, he housed me. I would stay the night at his crib all the times, eat up all his food. He would take me all over the place. Like, he invested in me. He showed me what it meant to be a follower of Jesus and what it meant to be a husband and what it meant to be a man of God. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here. But he did that when I was a snotty-nosed, hormone-crazy 15-year-old. And here we are 15 years later. Don't downplay the impact that you have on people now. Invest time in people. There's some people right now, maybe it's family, maybe it's nieces, maybe it's nephews, maybe it's even your kids, maybe it's your spouse, I don't know, maybe it's friends on your job, maybe it's coworkers, maybe it's classmates, whoever. But there are people that God has placed in our lives that he wants us to invest time in too. Because when we do that, we build a bridge to do the most important thing, which is next. Because when we do that, now we have a bridge to give them hope. And that's what Peter and John did here. Verses 3 through 5, they built a relationship, a very quick one, because they gave attention to this guy. And Peter says next in verse 6, back in Acts chapter 3, he says, silver and gold, I don't have that, man. I don't have $10 to give you. I can't give you a fish meal. I can't, man. I can't even get you Chick-fil-A. I just can't. I wish I could get you a milkshake. I wish. The cookies and cream, large with, you know, no whipped cream, no cherry. Because, you know, it takes up the cup. You know, they kind of, that's how they get you. I'm on a soapbox moment, but it's okay. But he says, I don't have that to give you. But what I have to give you, I freely give you. This is what he says in verse 6. Silver or gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Verse 7 says this, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And then in verse 8, it says this, he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Picture the scene with me, y'all. For 40 years, he didn't even know what walking felt like. He couldn't move his legs at all. But as soon as he's healed, he jumps to his feet and he begins to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Verse 9 says this, and when all the people saw him walking and praising God, verse 10, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. You know about what happened here? I don't know if y'all noticed it. This dude went from being outside the temple, not being able to walk, to now being able to walk and walk into the temple and dance right in front of everybody. Hey, you remember that time you ain't give me that $10? Look at me now. Look at me now. Like that's the scene. And people were like, oh my goodness. We know this dude. We know how long he was down. We know how long he was suffering. But this guy, all of a sudden, like, in the twinkling of an eye, in a chain. Like, could you imagine? Some people went in the temple right then and had passed him on their way in. 5 minutes later, he's in there hanging out with him, walking around, jumping up and down. That's crazy, y'all. That's some old movie Hollywood type stuff. But no, that's actually what happened. And it all happened through the power of Christ. Now, what's crazy is, giving money back in those times, it was a charitable thing. It was a good thing to do. But what Peter and John do here is they don't give him what this guy, they don't give the guy what he wanted. They gave the guy what he needed. What he needed was hope in Christ. He didn't need a handout. He needed hope, right? There's nothing wrong with being a blessing to people financially. No, but what people need more than anything else in a broken, cynical, ugly, nasty, like unfaithful world is hope. People need hope when they hear about shootings in Oregon. People need hope when we hear about divorces happening like crazy. People need hope when kids run away from home. People need hope when people are abused. People need hope. And that's what Peter and John gave this guy. And here's the good news. If we have this hope, what is our hope? Our hope is Christ. That's what Scripture says in Colossians 1 and 27, that Jesus Christ is the hope of glory. And we have this hope of glory living on the inside of us. We have this hope, and God is calling those who have hope to give hope. That's what he's called us to do. A good friend of mine says it like this, that the end goal of a miracle is not to impress people, but is that people would know God. That's the end goal. That's the whole purpose of miracles. Oftentimes people get so hung up on this miracle, like, oh my gosh, like this miracle happened and I'm praying for that same miracle. No, no, no. At the core of the miracle, it had nothing to do with the healing. It had everything to do with the hope in Christ. That was what it was all about. Because hope in Christ, salvation, when a person turns from their sin and puts their trust in Jesus, that is the greatest miracle. Healings are great. Salvation is best. Healings are awesome, but repentance is what God wants the most, which simply means to turn to God. Peter and John helped this man outside the temple. They went to this guy, y'all. They didn't wait for this guy to come to them. No, they went to him. It sounds awfully similar to what Jesus said in Matthew 28. We read the scripture a few weeks ago. It's called the Great Commission. It's when Jesus said it like this: go therefore, make disciples of all nations. In other words, Jesus doesn't call people to come to us. He calls us to go to people. Which means you can't wait for the person to come to church. No, you got to actually involve yourself with them. Like one little invitation is not good enough. Like, no, you have to actually like build some currency, like through relationship with them. And then when it happens, now you have a bridge to be able to give them hope. You give them hope by telling your story about what Christ did for you. All the times when I talk to so many believers, believers are like ashamed of the stuff that they've done. And this may sound crazy, what I'm about to say. Why are you ashamed when you've been forgiven of it? Like if you believe what Scripture says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that any man who's in Christ is a new creature, any woman who's in Christ is a new creature, the old is gone and the new has come. If you believe that and if you receive that, you are not who you used to be anymore. So you have nothing to be ashamed about. Does that mean you should have made that dumb decision? No, not at all. But that is the joy of this story. You show them that even in the midst of my sins, even in the midst of me missing the mark, God's grace made me new. Yeah. News. That's the story you got to share with people. Don't hide your testimony. Don't hide your scars. You may impress people with your strengths, but you connect with people through your weaknesses. People don't care nothing about your strengths. People want to know, man, you're one of the realest believers I've ever known. Man, you keep it 100 with me because Jesus kept it 100 with me. He wasn't afraid to show me his scars. And because I've received this grace from Christ, I'm also called to share this hope with other people. And I want to end here. When we know people who are living these defeated lives, when we know people who are far from God, who don't have this hope in Christ, know this, that God has strategically placed you in the lives of people. Here's something else that happens in this story. Let's go to Acts chapter 3, verse 11. Here's what happens. And I want to help us to see that we can't downplay the small moments that we have with people, one-on-one. While the man held on to Peter and John, this is after he got healed, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. Do y'all see what happened here? They healed this guy. They gave hope to this guy. And through one guy's deliverance, a whole crowd was drawn. And then it gets better. Let's go to Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came unto Peter and John while they were speaking, because around the mid part of chapter 3, they were now just starting to preach the gospel to this entire crowd that they just drew. And it says they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Then verse 3 says this: they seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But then verse 4, here's where it gets really cool, y'all. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men and women who believe grew to about 5,000. Hold on. Now, I don't know about y'all. Like, I went to school. I went to engineering school at ODU. Took me a little bit longer to finish, but I went there, right? I took calculus a few times. But that math don't make sense. Because through what they did with one guy led to 5,000. How do we explain that? That is the supernatural work and grace of God through our obedience. Because Peter and John obeyed the Spirit of the Lord to stop and have this conversation, to invest time into him, and to point this guy to Jesus, and to have this guy put his faith in Jesus. It drew a crowd. Peter now preaches to this crowd all throughout Acts 3, and in Acts chapter 4, verse 4. Though Peter and John got put in prison for this, God was like, I'm still getting glory. 5,000 people came to know the Lord. Come on, somebody. That's a great place to put your hands together right there. That's awesome. Because what this means, y'all, is that making an impact in the life of one person can begin to have ripple effects and long-term effects in the lives of thousands. The one person that you may call to reach may be the very person who changes history. Maybe the collective people that God uses to reach and change a city. It has been an absolute blessing to be able to watch week after week how we've had to bring out more chairs and more chairs. Because what that tells me is like, man, we're actually going out and telling people about Christ. I'm not actually just preaching to a dead crowd. This gives me hope as a pastor. Because what this means is we're taking God at his word, right? That's what that means. And so some of us may be asking, so like, why are you so passionate about this thing? Why are you so passionate about us sharing our faith? Why are you so passionate about us being generous with what God has called us to? Because that is what followers of Jesus are called to do. That is what Christians are called to do. Followers of Christ talk about their faith in Christ. If you know you've been forgiven much, you want to extend that same forgiveness to people. If you are here today and you've never committed any type of sin, if you've never made any type of mistake, the door is for you, because I guess this place is not for you. It's not perfect. But if you know you got a laundry list of stuff, and God's blood, through the blood of Christ, covered all of that stuff, you want to go do the same thing that Peter and John did and preach the gospel and share your faith with people. So what does this look like, you may be asking? What does this look like for me practically? How do I flesh this out in my life? This means that I'm talking to people about what God has done in my life. I'm talking about how God has healed my marriage. I'm talking about how God has forgiven me. I'm talking about how God has healed my body. I'm sharing with people all the great things that God has done for me. Some of us may be thinking, but that's boasting. Yes, it's boasting. That's what we're called to do, to boast in Jesus. Because he's the only one who's worthy to boast in. And when you boast in him, man, people may call you weirdo. People may say you're weird. People may be like, oh, you stop. Just stop. Here come the church boy. Here come the church guy. Here he come. Oh, hide your weed. Some of y'all didn't think I was going to say that, right? Woke some of y'all up, right? Hide it. Hide the bottle. Here he comes. Woke y'all up. And here's what a Christ follower says. I don't care nothing about your weed and your alcohol. I'm not trying to change that. I'm going to give you the hope of Christ. Because what happened is when you get the hope of Christ, you're not even want to do that anymore. So light one up right in front of me. I'm going to stand back so I don't catch a contact. True story. I've been around that. Like, hey, man, I'm going to stand over here because I can't get high. I can't do that. Right? But this is what God has called us to do, to share our faith, to not be afraid of dealing with people's mess. Following Christ, y'all, it's messy. Making disciples is messy. Ain't nothing clean about it. We were a mess when Jesus found us. We were a mess and still are a mess as Jesus is constantly making us more like him. But here's the good news. Acts 4:12 says this. When Peter and John were answering a question from all the religious leaders, they were like, didn't we tell you guys to stop preaching in the name of Christ? And Peter's like, yo, we can't stop doing this because God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. So we're not going to stay silent. Y'all can beat us down. Y'all can lock us up. Y'all can martyr us. Matter of fact, Peter in particular, was crucified upside down. The Apostle Paul, the one who wrote 13 letters and 13 books all throughout the New Testament, was beheaded for his faith. Let me help us understand something, that being a Christ follower, it is costly, but it's glorious. Because it means that your work will last even after you're out of here. It's messy, though. That means you're going to have to get involved with people's lives. Doesn't mean that you engage in the sin that they're engaged in. I'm not saying that. It means that you have to get down to their level and talk with them and connect with them and build relationship with them, because that is what Jesus did for us. Philippians 2 says this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow, every tongue has to confess that he is Lord. And as Christ followers, we believe that and we wave that banner, that we live our lives under the rulership of an awesome King who loves us, under an awesome God who cares for us, under an awesome God that we can take all of our issues to, who's not going to be prejudiced when it comes to his grace, but loves all people equally and is extending grace, calling to come into relationship with him. I don't know where on that track. I don't know where you are right now in your spiritual journey. You may be far from God, meaning that you don't have a relationship with God. Or maybe you're in a relationship with God, but let's just be honest. You've kind of backslid. You've kind of done some backpedaling, Deion Sanders style. You've kind of done that, right? Some of us are just in different places, but here, God's grace has always drawn us to him. But we have to respond to it. And when we respond to it, it overflows on the inside of us so much to the point where we want to share it with everybody. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you, God, for your grace. Worship team, you guys can come up. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much, God, for all you have done. I thank you, God, for this example that you've shown us through Peter and John and how they shared the faith with this man. How they weren't quiet. They didn't give him what he wanted. They gave him what he needed. And I pray in the name of Jesus for those of us who are followers of Jesus, for those of us who are Christ followers, who are Christians, I pray, God, that you would compel us to do the same for others. Help us this week, starting today, not to ignore the people that are around us that you've placed there. Help us not to turn a blind eye and a deaf ear, but help us to be sensitive to them. Help us to share Christ with people. In Jesus' name, while every head is bowed and every eye is still closed, if you're here today, you're saying, you know what, this Jesus, I've heard a lot about him. I grew up in church, but I didn't really give my life to him. But today, I want this grace that I've heard so much about. I want this love that I've heard so much about. I want this forgiveness that I've heard so much about. And here's the good news, that just as that God was delivered and was set free from years of oppression, not being able to walk, Jesus is still alive. He sits in heaven at the right hand of God the Father, wanting to do the same thing for you that he did for this guy through Peter and John. He wants to set you free. He wants to make you new. I know you're saying, but you know what? I've done a lot of heinous and ugly, nasty type of things in my life. Committed adultery. I did this. I lied. I cheated. I did something I was not supposed to do. I got myself in this thing. I can't get myself out. Here's the good news, y'all. Jesus is here. He wants to give you new life. So if you're here with every head bowed, and you're saying, you know what, I want Christ today. I want to give my life to Jesus today. All I'm going to ask us to do, I'm not going to ask us to come to the front. I'm not going to ask us even to stand or even raise our hand. All I'm going to ask you to do, if you need to give your life to Jesus today, is to repeat this prayer after me. We call this just a prayer of confession and of commitment, where we believe in what Christ has done for us. So if this is you, and you're saying, today I want to give my life to Christ, no matter your age, no matter your gender, no matter where you are right now, if this is you, just repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me for my sins. I believe that you died on the cross for me, that you were raised to life on the third day so that I could have new life in Christ. Thank you for new life. My life is not my own. Today, I give it to you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for what God has done. Awesome. Awesome. A few things I just want us to do right before we leave. Hey, if you made a decision to give your life to Christ, do me a favor if all of us could actually pull out that worship that we gave you when you walked in. At the bottom it says, my decision today. If you made a decision just to give Christ your life, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time and you made a decision to give your life to Jesus, we want to celebrate with you. So what I want you to do is I want you to check that box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ today. And what's going to happen is we're going to send you some next steps as it relates to what God is calling you to do and how you can be a follower of Jesus. And also, if this was your first time here today, at the bottom of that worship guide is what we call our connection card, right, where that decision portion is. And if this is your first time, fill out that card and drop that in the bucket as you guys walk out. We're just going to send you a letter this week just telling you thank you for being our guest. We're not going to bombard you or send you any extra mail. We just really want to acknowledge you and say thank you for being our guest today. And as you guys are doing that, if you're here today and you're saying, I'm ready to give to the Lord, one of the things that we believe as a church, as followers of Christ, is that we respond to what God has given us by giving to him a portion of our finances. And so As followers of Christ, this is what we're called to do. This is your first time here. Don't worry about giving. No pressure on you. Service is really our gift to you. I just want to say thank you for being here today. And then last but not least, tomorrow morning. Everybody say tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning.
6:30 a.m. from about 6:30 to about 6:50. We want to encourage you guys to be a part of Monday morning prayer. You can go on our website. You can find all the information with the call number. And if you got any prayer requests, you can fill it out online. Or on the back of that worship guide that we gave you, you can put your prayer request down there as well. Drop it in the bucket, and we'll lift that up in prayer before the Lord tomorrow morning. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand on our feet. Let's prepare to be dismissed. I hope today has encouraged you. I hope today has been inspiring, and I pray that today we would go out and we would go reach people who are far from God, that we would go share our faith. Grab one of these cards, Acts of Kindness cards. Grab a few of them. We got tons of them out there. Grab some. Just be a blessing to somebody this week. Tell them that God loves them, and this act of kindness is just something to share that love with them. And last, fill out that you asked for question survey. Drop that in the bucket as well, so that way we can get some feedback as it relates to what type of messages you want to hear for next month. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for all you've done. We pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would be with us as we go down from this place, but never your presence. We thank you, God, for loving us so much that you gave us grace in Christ Jesus. And as we leave here today, we pray, God, that this grace that we have been saved by, that it will also compel us to share it with other people. We thank you, and we love you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.